Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And speaking of liking, we like our next guest very much. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider is hiring drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. He is Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. Adam, thanks so much for joining us.
Can they give me a ride down to Phoenix and back of a big 18-wheeler?
Yeah, probably could. Yeah, I think I could arrange that for you. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. We can make
if that's something you're up for, sure.
Well, I don't love the idea of getting on a plane, but I guess I'll do it.
Yeah, I don't like the idea myself either. I'm with you.
We get to go. I don't know if this hasn't come up, but we do get to go, and I am legitimately thrilled about that. See some ball. When the full camp opens Tuesday. So I will be there, and I'm definitely not complaining.
But well, my interviews?
My doc told me if you go, make sure you double mask. You should be good.
Yes.
Adam.
Thank you. I will do that.
As far as interviews go, though, they're all going to be Zoom still. So from that aspect, you're still not going to get that one-on-one time like you've got in pre-pandemic. You're still in current pandemic mode. So you get to be at the stadium, I guess, and watch the games, but everything's still done on Zoom?
No, I mean, the plan, look, everything is subject to change,
sure.
Right? And that's been the case since the beginning of this whole thing. But the idea is that we will get to do a little bit of one-on-one in an outdoor, super distance-y kind of way, because I am not, you know, the media is not in the proper tier to get into the building. So we'll be in the press box, and then we will be on the grounds, but we will be totally separated from everybody in Tier 1 and Tier 2, which are the players, coaches, and then, like, the essential team staff like it was last year. So I'll get to do some interviews with players from, you know, whatever, across the sidewalk out there in right field, but I'll at least get to, like, you know, see them in person instead of through a screen. So
that's good.
A big step back to normal, yeah.
Yeah, that's very good.
A lot will still be done on Zoom. So people are still going to see lots of Zoom when they look at, you know, they see on TV and they see the interviews or on MLB.com.
Yeah, because like for the Bucks, they're allowing media back at games again. That's happened Tuesday night. But the Bucks are still doing everything on Zoom, pre and post, everything from that standpoint, Zoom. But again, they're inside. They're not outside like you guys are with the Brewers in nice warm weather. Before we get to the Brewers,
what we have is we have a really small media group. We have the Brewers being in their own complex. I've written this already. Is I think a big boost because it just halves the number of people walking around the place. And if the idea is to stay in your own little bubble as much as possible, that's a big deal. And the thing about this is kind of how the sausage is made. Maybe people don't care, but each baseball team is doing things a little bit different. So the Brewers are offering some limited in person, and we're all incredibly thankful. Other clubs are working up to that still. So we're all sort of like, you know, see how it goes, and we're all going to try to be really smart and careful because I think, you know, whether you work directly for the team or you're a player or you cover, there's, you know, it'd be good if they could play a season. So nobody wants to screw it up.
When you say limited number of media how do they go about limiting that number? How does that work?
Well, I'm just talking about us being a relatively small media market.
Okay.
You know, we just have a smaller group.
Yes.
And when you think about the Yankees with, 75 reporters,
Yes.
Between TV, radio, print, it's a different animal. So I think that's one of the things in this time that, you know, the market here, it's we don't often say it's a good thing to be in a small market, guys. And I think people are, well, I don't know, Fernando Tatis signed that San Diego's not exactly a megaplex, but often the being a small market can work against you if you're a sports fan. But in this case, I think it's a good thing.
You bring up Fernando Tatis.
You start
talking about $340 million.
Oh,
Machado's $300 million. Hosmer's $188 million. Yu Darvish is $56 million. Kim is $28 million. That's essentially their infield, if you include Darvish as the pitcher. I just don't see how that's sustainable going forward when you're not New York, Boston, or Chicago. Or L.A.
Well, I mean, here we are again wanting to see the books. If there was transparency about teams' finances, it would be much easier to get, well, I wouldn't be able to give you an educated take on it, but I could probably find an accountant who could help. But we just don't know. We don't know what these teams' numbers are. And it is like hard to figure out why the Padres can do this and, the Brewers and, you know, Cardinals and, Reds, you know, can't. I don't have a good answer for you on that. And, it's great, I think, for the sports fans to know that this guy's going to be in one place for a long time. I kind of like that. You know, you think back to when we all started loving baseball, players moved around a lot less. There was like stability with where guys were. You knew, you know, Tony Gwynn was a Padre, and that's where he was going to be. And now there's a lot more movement. So I think it's cool, but it is a little – it's hard to figure out how the Padres can do it because they are not – I mean, San Diego is not a big market. That is, they are not raking in a gigantic television contract as far as I know. And that's where teams like the Dodgers and Cubs and Yankees, that's where a lot of those dollars come from. And I don't think that's where San Diego's getting it.
How are you feeling about Christian Yelich having a bounce back year this year?
I would say that there are a few things that are stone cold locks in sports, but I would put that pretty close to the top of the list. And look, there's a couple of things. I mean, one, he's just really good and he did it for years and years, especially his first two seasons in Milwaukee. The other thing is, I think when you really look at last season, it was, after the shutdown, he came back to summer camp and was just kind of like lost. Remember he was on, they did those webcasts of the games. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone watched that. It was during the day, but he was really upfront about like, man, he just felt lost. And that persisted into the regular season. And he went, 1-for-27 with a dozen strikeouts to start the year. And when you get in that hole, it's going to be really hard to climb out over a 60-game season. Yelich himself, the start of summer camp, said this was a possibility for some good players. And I think that's what happened, is he just never got to dig himself out. But when you look at the on base, when you look at the hard hit rate, which we now have thanks to all those radars around Miller Park and StatCast, there were a lot of things to really like about what he did last season. When he made contact, it was loud contact. Where he got into trouble was this kind of like a little more passive approach at the plate. And some of that was just, he wasn't seeing the ball as well, or he just wasn't as sure at the plate as he had been in the past couple of seasons. But when he did make contact, it was loud Christian Yelich contact. So I would think there's a very strong probability that he gets back to being an MVP caliber player this season.
Talking with Adam McKelvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. Travis Shaw, it looks like returning, as is Brett Anderson. The Travis Shaw one intrigues me quite a bit because, again, if you can catch lightning in a bottle one more time with Travis Shaw, that could really solidify and rectify that third base issue. I call it an issue. The Brewers obviously don't, but you know, talking about Arcia possibly playing some third in spring training to see if he can play there. They want to see Urias at shortstop. So to me, it sounds like they're still trying to figure out what's going on at those two positions. If Shaw plays and hits well, that should be his job. The question is, can he do it?
Yeah, and that's a big question because his last year in Milwaukee was a, you know, pretty much a total disaster. And his year in Toronto last year was okay. But you know, it's again this problem of the 60-game season. What do you read of any of this? You know, Javi Baez. Like, is Javi Baez a bad player now? Of course not. So the 60-game season is really hard to read. So this is like a free flyer on a player who's had two huge seasons at third base for the Brewers. And it makes every bit of sense for Travis Shaw to come here because the Brewers offer great opportunity because they're unsettled at that position. And it makes great sense for the Brewers because it's a zero-risk investment. They're just going to have to decide if they like what they see during spring training and if they give him a shot to start the year. And then, you know, then it gets to, you know, when do you make a decision to go in a different direction if it doesn't work out? The Garcia thing, I think there was a little more clarification from Craig Counsell in our Zoom a little while ago. And you just said it, Steve. It's more that they want to see Urias play a lot of shortstop in spring training. Because remember last year he was down with that hamate injury. He broke his hand in winter ball. And the day he was supposed to start playing again is the day that things got shut down because of the coronavirus. Then they come back together at Miller Park and Urias tests positive for COVID. So he basically missed summer camp. So the Brewers just haven't been able to get eyes on this guy and they want to see him play shortstop. And because they want to see him play a lot of shortstop in spring training, that I think is why they're going to play Arcia at third. I think it's more to get reps and less that they're thinking about him being the third baseman. I think, you know, the guy Daniel Robertson, who they signed, has a chance to get a look. He's not that far removed from being like a top prospect in baseball. And he's 26 years old. And it's again, maybe a long shot. The guy who's been in the big leagues here and there, but never really got an opportunity to like just play every day. And then I think Travis Shaw has a really good chance. So I would put, if I had to like rank the possibilities of who's going to be the opening day third baseman, I'd probably go right now Shaw, Robertson, and then Arcia or maybe Urias.
You know who I'm curious to see is Lorenzo Cain and, you know, opt out and how does he look coming back? He should be fresher, obviously, but still like to see what he looks like.
Well, it's a huge get. I mean, there's a lot of frustration that the Brewers didn't, you know, they had a really quiet offseason. Getting Lorenzo Cain back is bigger than any free agent acquisition they could have made short of signing Justin Turner for third base. He improves your defense. And again, another thing we talked about Craig Counsell with today is it's just a present. And, you know, you can't measure that stuff. I don't have a metric for it, but it's a thing. And Gary, you know it. It's real when you're putting together a team, and he has it. So getting him back makes their up the middle defense is really solid. I mean, they look like a pitching and defense team right now, which doesn't happen every year around here. And, you know, is that going to be good enough to do any damage when you're up against the Cardinals with Goldschmidt and Arenado, and then eventually, you hope, against teams like the Dodgers and Padres and Braves and Mets, I don't know, but that looks like the way they're kind of built right now. They really like their pitching staff a lot, and they like the way they're built for this weird season where you're going from 60 games to 162. Every team across baseball is going to have to run their pitching staff the way the Brewers have run it since 2018 because you're not going to have five starters pitch 35 games apiece this year. It's not going to happen.
I agree with you on
Brewers
that.
Pitching staff is built for this, and if they got a better defense, that could be kind of the strength of their team.
Okay, so let's talk about the back end of this bullpen, because this came up as well. I think it was yesterday here on the Wendy's Big Show, and that is the back end of that bullpen with Hader and Williams. Do you think that Hader maintains that closer role and they leave him there? Or do you think because they've got enough arms back there now that maybe he goes back to the role that he was in when Jeremy Jefferson was there and Corey Knable and let him kind of be more of a specializing role and getting him out of a jam in the sixth and maybe pitching the seventh or closing out the seventh and pitching the eighth? Or do you think they're too, I don't call it scared, but maybe too nervous to maybe pull him out of that role now?
No, I think he's in that role, and he's going to be one of the guys I'm sure we talk about a lot and drive the manager crazy. He might actually lose his first hair because we're going to ask him so much about Josh Hader's usage, because Hader's a guy going from what? I don't have it in front of me how many innings last year to whatever he's going to log over 162, and he's already a guy who talked about this many times. You got to be really monitor his usage. They've found a good strategy, but he's going to be, I think, like the starting pitchers, a guy who you really have to watch in terms of the inning jump from last year to this year.
Innings were 19, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, look, and now maybe you're going to want to, in a normal year, you'd want 70, 75, 80. That's a huge jump. And, you know, again, we've talked about the way Hader bounces back. It's a little bit different. But when you get him, when you have him properly rested, I mean, it's one of the greatest weapons in the sport. So that's going to be a big, that's going to be a big topic this year, I think. And the good thing is they've got Devin Williams behind him.
Right.
And then they've got guys they like, and it's not, you know, Raleigh Fingers, but it's not like, and by that, I just mean, it's not like big name guy, but they've got arms that they really like, including Drew Rasmussen, who's going to, I think, be a big X factor this year. They got Freddie Peralta, who can give you length. They got Suter, who can give you length. That's going to be huge this year. And they have just done a good job in recent seasons of finding these guys and who get an opportunity and make the most of it. And the guy last year was Justin Topa. Again, our little council chat. Every year at this time, they have a big staff meeting, and they sort of go over all the players. And it's scouts and analysts and David Stearns and Matt Arnold and the coaches. And they just talk about all the players they have, what they see, and where they think there's room for improvement. All kind, you know, they have these. It's a great old school baseball tradition, one of the few that lives on. And Justin Topa was not part of that conversation last year, and he comes up at the end of the year and like really impressed with the way he threw the ball and pitching some big spots against the Dodgers in that little playoff series.
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
So they've done a good job of finding little gems like that, and they're going to have to do it again this year.
Adam, thank you so much for coming on. Enjoy the warm weather down in Arizona. We'll talk to you when you're down there.
All right. See you guys.
Take care. There is Adam McKelvey on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Adam McKelvey just let something out of the bag that makes sense with something else that I saw on Twitter concerning the Milwaukee Brewers. I'll tell you what that is coming up next. But first, Joe Zanzola is going to tell me where he likes to go buy his cars.
Hyundai West Allis, ladies and gentlemen. That is where I've been going, and that's where you should be going to get your new car. And a lot of deals are out there right now, including this one. It's a very simple one, so just pay very close attention. All you got to do is just say my name. That's it. Joe Zanzola or Radio Joe, it doesn't matter. And believe me, guys, I do not like to be that kind of guy that says, hey, use my name, you know. But I'm telling you, this is for you. This ain't about me, it's about you. Save $750 off your new car at Hyundai West Allis just by mentioning my name, or you can just say Gary Ellerson. Mention Gary's name, and it works the same exact way. You can use this deal on any new car, including the brand new 2021 Hyundai Palisade. It is right now the hottest selling vehicle in Wisconsin. They've also launched a new price matching program at Hyundai West Allis. So if you get a lower price from a competing dealership in Wisconsin, they will match or beat it. So in review, go to the award-winning Hyundai West Allis. You can check out the largest available inventory. Mention my name. Save $750 off your car. Or, you know, the one thing is they are keeping everything clean in their showroom. They're wiping everything down. You can go in there to shop for your new car. But if you still don't feel comfortable going out in public, and I don't blame you, just go to HyundaiWestAllis.com. You can shop for your car online, and they will work with you online as well. And again, just say my name, and you get $750 off your car. There's no excuses to go to any other Hyundai store. They're located off of Highway 100 in West Allis. And again, just go to HyundaiWestAllis.com.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.